This is the Neverwinter Nights podcast for the week of November 30th, 2006. This is episode 4.
Welcome to the Neverwinter Nights podcast, a weekly show dedicated to the Neverwinter Nights game series. I will be your host tonight. I'm Trey, a.k.a. Ashokan Zelo.
And I'm Jay, a.k.a. Navinka Naroda.
This week's top stories are official Neverwinter Nights 2 1.03 beta gets released, and then we think it gets pulled. We'll talk about that later. Matt Peckman, 1UP, Neverwinter Nights 2 review. Author posts full review on his blog. NWN extender for NWN2.
We also want to let you know about some community resources. Some sites we've come across are Neverwinter Nights Stratix, RPM.com, and Neverwinter Connections. We want to tell you about a new segment we've added to the show, the Mod Spotlight. The Mod Spotlight will give mod teams the opportunity to record information about their mod and submit it to us via the audio or an MP3 file to be included in the show in their own voice, in their own words, telling about their mod. If you're a mod developer and would like to be on the Mod Spotlight, check out the Submit a Mod Spotlight page on our website.
My name is Mirik, a.k.a. Solace, and I'm the project leader for Sundren, a persistent world in development for Neverwinter Nights 2. Sundren is a roleplay-focused mod with a well-established background story that has been made in existing Forgotten Realms lore. That is not to say it will be without action. We have plans for a robust arena system, custom boss AI, all offering unique challenges. Sundren is a city-state located in a remote area of Faerun that was founded by a legion of wizards and miners seeking wealth beyond what was available to them in Waterdeep. Since its inception, it has grown from a series of shanty mining towns to a fully-fledged nation. However, like any successful city, it is plagued by hidden evils, corrupt officials, and neighboring enemies. We are having an open beta towards the end of December, at which time we will release our client package, which includes our world map and other files. I encourage everyone interested in the project to visit our website at www.sundren.org. That's S-U-N-D-R-E-N. You can track the progress of the server up to when it goes live sometime in December. Don't forget to register so you can give us valuable feedback on the forums.
The official Neverwinter Nights 2 1.03 beta patch was released last week during the Thanksgiving holidays here in the U.S. Obsidian assistant producer Nathan Chapman will be handling all the future patches for Neverwinter Nights 2 and has released the 1.03 beta patch for the community to try out before it's available for widespread distribution. These are self-contained installers and as such do not need any supporting files or anything attached to them. Also included is the patch to revert back to 1.02 once you're done checking them out. So you can check out the 1.03 patch notes at a link that we'll provide in the show notes.
One of the things I want to tell you about the patch is that it's for English only. English clients only. So if you're a non-English speaking client, it's not available for yours yet. They have plans on getting those ready. And as soon as the official patch is released, it will be released in all language clients.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
One of the cool things that I thought was in the patch was they've made some changes to the cameras, because that was one of the big things I messed around with in the game for I don't know how long was.
Yeah, I haven't.
The cameras.
I haven't installed that patch yet, but I noticed on the notes that it had the camera changes and the new options for adjusting the sensitivity for controlling the camera, which is one of the things I was having problems with. Also, the chase cam is also adjusted to work more like Neverwinter Nights 1, which is what I used most of the time, was the chase cam.
And looks like they've optimized some of the graphic settings.
Well, anti-aliasing support is back. That's a big one from Neverwinter Nights 1, and a lot of people were wanting that back, so I'm glad to see they brought it back, so you can actually set the
shadow.
Go ahead.
Shadow rendering has been improved.
That was a big performance hit when they first turned it on. So,
as well as tree and water rendering.
Yeah, all of those were big performance hits, so it's a good thing they've improved some of those.
Did you have to turn those off in yours?
I turned mine down because it made the gameplay sluggishly.
They have some new options available. You can now turn off the buy and sell confirmation dialogue. Wow, did I hear some cheers out there?
No kidding. And the options menu has been reorganized to support many new camera control options. And you can now change some of the key bindings in the games, which I don't know about you guys, but I got used to hitting tab to highlight everything that was clickable in the area, and they changed the key on me, so now I can set it back.
Oh, cool. Yeah, that's going to be a good one.
They've also...
I was disappointed with that.
Yeah, they changed it to what, the Z key or control key? I think it was Z.
Yeah.
So they've also added some, or should I say, re-enabled some of the database scripting functions in Everyone Knows One. It doesn't really go into great detail exactly what those are. They had promised database support, that external database support for persistent world developers. It's been real limited. The real solution for that's going to be what we talked about later when we get into the NWNX.
For you DMs out there, they've added initial support for hotbar buttons and context menus. They've added a party bar.
Woo-hoo,
party bar, cool.
Time for a party.
The very easy difficulty option has been restored. And the DM chat channel is once again available via the /DM prefix.
Well, they've also added that /T style chat for the multiplayer options. And some of the scriptings, they've added the effect wild shape function. They've added some get enumbrance state, which is a function to set the state of a given player. Get player creature examine target, pack campaign database, get player target object, and unlinked door. Then they again talk about database support being added, including a new pack campaign database function.
That unlinked door allows you to change a transition door into a normal door.
Oh.
I'm sorry, turn an area transition door into a normal door.
Interesting. Not sure what I would use that for, but I'm sure someone will find a great usage for it. Some of the toolset additions are also, they've added a new load screen image previewer and added an item icon previewer. Area names and tags are now default to the area's file name for new areas.
The spell tab now shows multiple instances of spells, so creatures can have multiple instances of a spell with different metamagic types. That sounds complicated to me.
It's something that could come in really handy for people writing modules.
Right-clicking while placing tiles now rotates the file. The tile. The first column and row of the 2DA viewer are now pinned, making it easier to use.
Changes on item blueprints will now be propagated to items in creature or placeable inventories or that are equipped on creatures. Added new options for the file menu that allows the user to compile only current open scripts.
And also in the tool set, there's a new panel in the script editor that allows the user to insert scripts from the NWN2 toolset /templates folder into the current script. There's also some script search functionality has been changed to bring up all results in one result window. One result window. And the user can double-click to open up that search result.
They've made some enhancements to the visual style and item cost calculations added to the item properties. They also said doors now have a flag that allows them to render an invisible area transition, a.k.a. an invisible black door. When users enter a string ref, they can also check a box to say that the string ref is from the custom file. And the string return will be from that file instead of the main TLK table. Feminine versions of strings are now editable. Hex values can now be used as string references within 2DAs. And the script editor runs faster and uses less memory.
But the tool set, people have been playing around with the tool set are going to love those changes, I think.
Oh, you know they will.
And they have a whole other section on multiplayer fixes, so if you want to read about that, check out our show notes. An interesting fact, though, is that when they released that, it did have links on that same page that we were just reading those notes from, where you could actually download the patch. And as of, I think, last night or the night before, those links are gone because I went out there to try to download it and I can't find them.
I went and looked at that, too, after you mentioned that earlier today, and I have a link I was going to include in the show notes that's on the Vault that has links to Warcry site and vaults that have the downloads.
Oh, so you found them?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
They are available on the Obsidian, neverwinternights2.obsidian.net support area for a downloader. So I'll include that in the show notes. Not to beat a dead horse to death, but I did want to give an update on the 1UP review that got pulled. I have found a link to Matt, I think it's Packham. He is the author of that review that got pulled, and he posted on his blog a couple of paragraphs about it and then the full review. And if any of you guys are looking for that and wanted to read it, I'll put that in our show notes as well.
Yeah. He starts out by saying, I opted to wait a few weeks before doing this to let it cool down a little. So I guess if we're reviving this dead horse, it might get a little hot again.
Well, I know it was.
Since we have
big,
millions of listeners and everything.
Yeah. I know that it was a. It did get a lot of attention, and I'm not. And that's one of the things he says in the first couple of paragraphs is he waited a couple of weeks because he didn't want to draw a lot of attention to it. He wanted the review to stand as it was about the game and not about him and not as a media publicity stunt. And so that's why he waited several weeks, which I give him props for that because he wanted it to be about the game, not about him. I just was interested in reading the full official review, and some of the things in there, he's right. There were some problems with it, and some of the things I agree with and some of the things I didn't agree with. I think that's the way a lot of people are going to find it.
Also in the news, we want to talk about the NWN extender for NWN 2, which you can learn more about at www.nwnx.org.
Yeah, I've been watching that one really close because whenever they said they were going to release Neverwinter Nights 2 with database support, everybody that wanted to build a persistent world jumped up and down with excitement. And then whenever they got it and found out that it had been disabled, they threw their boxes down in disgust, I think. The Neverwinter Nights Extender project for Neverwinter Nights 1 allowed a lot of persistent worlds to exist in a game that probably would have never had them before by allowing them to attach scripts to their modules that allowed them to call out to external databases. And they have just released a version 1.05, I believe it is. Yeah, 1.05 of NWN X4, which is for Neverwinter Nights 2. It's a prototype.
Yeah, it looks like they released that upgrade on 11.26.
Yeah, it's fresh. And we know a couple of people that are working on Persistent Worlds that are previewing that right now and getting it working. So we'll hopefully get some reviews on it here real soon.
It says that the current update includes the process and GameSpy watchdogs, which take care of this server's health, and a totally new way to run NWNX service.
Well, that's running it as a service.
I'm not sure what.
Well,
running
it as a service on a Windows machine for Neverwinter Nights 1 was really difficult. There were some utilities that you could get from Windows that would allow you to do that. ServeAny was one of them, and there were some other utilities you could get that would allow you to run it as a service. But it wasn't always foolproof, so it's good to see that those guys bring that in for Neverwinter Nights 2 so that you don't have to go crank that stuff up yourself. If you're running a Windows machine and it goes down or the power goes off and it comes back up, this will make it start your game server back up without you having to be there. They've also got a new architecture, and I don't know if this was introduced for Neverwinter Nights 1. I believe it was, but I'm not positive on that. Someone out there that knows better can shoot me an email about it and make sure I get it right. The architecture of the Neverwinter Nights extender has changed so that you can create plugins instead of having to write full code to add to the extender. So it's got an extensible model where you can write a plugin to do your own work or go talk to some other piece of a database or some other code and do work for you that you couldn't normally do. So it's definitely titled correctly saying it's an extender because it really allows a lot of power when extending the game. Look forward to seeing what people are going to do with that.
Yeah, so we'll probably be checking that out periodically and have it here in the news section. I was doing some research on the net and came across RPG.com, a website with all kinds of information about RPG games. It was a pretty interesting site. You can check it out at www.rpgdot.com.
Those kind of websites make it hard to say their URL, don't they? RPG.dot.
Yes, they do.
Com.
We'll also have it in the show notes.
But did they have a section on Neverwinter Nights?
No, they had. They actually, I noticed that they had a news section about our mod spotlight section that we're actually introducing in this segment, which you've probably already heard if you've listened this far. So I wanted to mention this and actually thank RPG Dot for having a new section about our mod section. You know, Jay and I think the mod spotlight section could become a really popular segment in our show.
Oh, yeah, I think it's going to be really cool just because that the mod teams get to do it in their own voice and their own words. So it brings the community together.
It'll be the voices of the creators. I also came across a site called Stratix. They also had a news article about our Neverwinter Nights podcast. So to return the favor, I urge you to check them out. Here's a little bit about them. They have worked hard to provide a valuable service to the MMOG community by providing as much information and services as they can for each title that they cover. So by offering community forums, news and information, guides and reviews, developer chats and interviews, and much more, they strive to become a complete online resource.
Do they have a Neverwinter Nights section? Isn't there a Neverwinter Nights NWN Stratix? Is that the same site as this?
Yes, I believe when you click on their Neverwinter Nights link, it takes you to there.
Gotcha. Another really cool website we've come across is Neverwinter Nights or Neverwinter Connections. It's a unique service. I think it's a little bit different than most other sites I've seen out there. They actually are a player and server matching service. So you can register your Persistent World server out there or your Action server or any Neverwinter Nights server 1 and 2, I believe. And they help you link up, find out what's going on out there, and see what games are going on.
Okay, tonight we're going to have a section called About the Games section. For both NWN and NWN2, we will look through the game manuals and discuss and explain key aspects of the games. And we're probably going to do this over a series of episodes. This week we're going to start out with what's new in NWN2 and also start talking through some of the D&D concepts. For those of you who have played NWN for a long time, the concepts will not be new. So hopefully we can outline some differences between version 3 and version 3.5. So with that, we'll dig into what's new in Neverwinter Nights 2. As everyone knows, it's been several years since Neverwinter Nights was released, and much has changed. You'll immediately notice many major graphics improvements, a new epic storyline, and numerous other enhancements. One of those enhancements or changes is that instead of using version 3 of the Dungeons & Dragons engine, it now uses version 3.5 rules. So pay close attention to the details, especially if you've played version 3 before. They've added several new races from throughout Furin as playable options. Most of these are races with level adjustment, which means that their abilities are great enough that characters of those races advance slightly more slowly. In addition to the default races presented in Neverwinter Nights, you can now choose from the following races: Sun Elf, Wood Elf, Drow or Dark Elf, a Gold Dwarf, a Dugar or a Dark Dwarf, a Vermneblin, or a Deep Gnome, a Teflon, an Asmar, and a Strongheart Halfling.
They also have some new prestige classes. The Shadows of the Undertide expansion introduced prestige classes, and Neverwinter Nights 2 adds more of these advanced character classes. Your character can now become an Arcane Trickster, Duelist, Eldritch Knight, Frenzied Berserker, Shadow Thief of Amun, or War Priest. The number of classes each character can have has been increased to 4, allowing for more combinations and customizations.
That's one of the things I really liked.
They also have 4 member groups. In Neverwinter Nights, you could have 1 companion. The Hordes of the Underdark expansion added another. And now in Neverwinter Nights 2, you can have the classic 4-person party.
NWN2 now features an entirely new item crafting system. to make weapons and armor, as well as magical and alchemical items, you'll first have to learn the correct recipe, either by finding it within the game or figuring it out through experimentation. Oh, really? If you have sufficient skill to create the item, success is automatic. No random die rolls. Finally, magical items are created in part with essence, which are distilled from monster parts that you'll acquire from enemies. It does say in parentheses, creation of potions, scrolls, and wands is unchanged. And I also wanted to mention here, I think we got either a comment or somebody on our forums was actually asking or made a comment about that.
I think you're right. I think they were talking about how they didn't like that. That's only some of the more elite type items could only be acquired by crafting skills and using crafting, and they didn't really care much about doing crafting skills, so they didn't really appreciate that.
Right. Dan said, I heard the best weapons weren't available except through crafting. This kind of stinks, as I have no interest in doing the crafting.
I have to agree with him. I don't really like crafting that much either. I know a lot of people really get into it, but it's just not something that trips my trigger.
You're right. I didn't get into it in NWN either.
Other enhancements have been made to the interface. In Neverwinter Nights 2, you'll notice a host of interface improvements. New context-sensitive drop-down menus place all actions within two clicks, replacing the radio menu. And I have to admit, I like that. The radio menu was nice, but the only thing I ever went to in the radio menu was the emote so that I could make my character fall down or act drunk or something like that in a particular situation. Other than that, I was either using the quick bar or my character sheet or something. I was never using the radio menu. So I kind of like the new menus in Neverwinter Nights 2 so you can pull your spells up that are already prepared so that you can get to them. You don't use quick slots for those, so you can get to them a lot faster, so I have to like that.
So there's no emotes anymore?
I don't know about emotes. I haven't really looked for them. A new mode bar lets you easily turn stealth, power attack, and other modes on and off.
Something else has been added, and it's called Stronghold. Throughout your adventures in NWN2, you will eventually establish your own stronghold. This base of operations can be improved through construction and populated by people you persuade to join your cause. Your stronghold provides you with numerous benefits and serves as a testimony of your accomplishments.
Yeah, I don't know if that's new. Cool. That is new. I know that a lot of the persistent worlds were trying to pull that off in Neverwinter Nights 1, but now I think they've got a whole system around that.
I guess I never played a PW that had that ability. There's also been some tool set improvements in NWN2. Modules are easier than ever to create thanks to so many improvements to the tool set. With greater customability and new features like script parameters, you'll find you have more power than before to create your own worlds and scenarios.
Now that I think is a yes and no, depending on how you look at it. Outside the areas don't use tile sets anymore, so they've actually become more complicated to create. Interior areas still use tile sets, so you can still pretty much lay them down with the same skills you learned in Neverwinter Nights 1 tool set. The tool set itself is a lot easier to use itself in the interface. It's completely brand new, ground up. It's written in Microsoft .NET on top of that. That's the only part, I think, of Neverwinter Nights 2 that is written in that. But there are some parts of it that are more complicated, just because they've given more power.
Companion influence. One of the great features of Neverwinter Nights are the detailed and intriguing relationships you can develop with your companions.
Oh, my companions.
Ooh, la, la. In Neverwinter Nights 2, we've expanded this feature even further.
You did? Or they did?
Okay, they did. Did I say I did?
We've.
Well, that's what it said.
But we did.
How you act within the game and how you behave toward your companions will affect their loyalty toward you and how the story unfolds. Okay, so that's the end of what's new in Neverwinter Nights 2. That kind of gives you an overview. So I hope that was helpful for those of you who are thinking about playing the game or have bought it and haven't started playing the game yet. And now we'll get into the next section we're going to get into for our main topic tonight is we're going to start going through the Dungeons & Dragons concepts. And we hope this is going to be really helpful for those of you out there who are just learning about role-playing games and want to get more in-depth. And we do know that if you are a long-time player of Neverwinter Nights, you're probably going to know most of what we're fixing to go over. But we're going to start out and we're going to go through an overview of dice, character classes, and ability scores. And it'll probably take us several episodes to go through that. And then in future episodes, we'll get more in-depth, and maybe we'll even have some people on the show that can actually talk about their experiences and go really in-depth into each of these aspects of the game. Dice. Dice are a big part of playing the pencil and paper version of Dungeons & Dragons.
Hey, Trey, before you get into that, what version of the rule set is this game based on?
Yep. Version 3.5.
So if you're going to go look at that up, then you have the books, and you want to look at it, you'll know what version of the books to compare them to. Sorry.
Okay, sorry, I forgot to mention that. Also, a lot of the stuff that we're going to go over will hopefully make lots of the terms within the game and the manual more clear to you. And it'll give you a place to look for answers. So let's start out with dice. Dice are a big part of playing the pencil and paper versions of D&D. They are used to generate random numbers that determine the outcome of many things in the game, such as whether or not you can penetrate a dragon's scaly hide or dodge his fiery breath. In NWN2, computer-generated random numbers fill this role, but the same types of dice are used. The letter D is used to indicate a certain type of die. For example, D6 refers to six-sided dice, like the kind you use in Monopoly or Yahtzee.
Well, if the D is preceded by another number, then that's how many dice will be rolled. For example, 3D6 means that 3 six-sided dice will be rolled, and their numbers added to give you a value between 3 and 18.
Perhaps the most common dice term in D&D is D20, which refers to a 20-sided die, which yields a random number between 1 and 20. A D20 is used for attacking enemies, an attack roll. Using skills like open lock, a skill check, and resisting magical spells, also called a saving throw, or save for short. We'll get into these concepts in more detail later. Okay, let's now move on to character classes. There's really three types of character classes: combat classes, spellcasting classes, and prestige classes. Your character class, often referred to as a class, is your profession or vocation. It determines what you're able to do in terms of your combat training, magical ability, and skills. D&D character classes can approximate most character concepts. For example, both rangers and fighters make excellent archer characters. Paladins and clerics are both adept at hunting down undead monsters such as zombies and vampires.
There are 6 combat classes in Neverwinter Nights 2 that are all identified by their skills in combat. Kind of sounds redundant, doesn't it? Some of these classes do have minor spells or spell-like abilities, but their focus is on physical combat. The barbarian is a ferocious warrior guided by fury and instinct. Fighter, a warrior with unequaled skills with weapons, and monk, a martial arts artist and master of exotic weapons. Paladin, a champion of justice, strengthened by an array of divine powers, a ranger, a cunning, skilled warrior of the wilderness, and a rogue, a skillful scout and spy who utilizes stealth.
And I don't think those have changed from NWN,
I don't think so, the original.
I think
those pretty much are the same ones.
I think it's the same, same number of combat classes. There's also spellcasting classes, as we mentioned. These 6 classes are all able to wield magic when they begin their adventuring careers. They all have at least a minimal ability to engage in physical combat. And those classes are Bard, a performer and jack-of-all-trades, whose music works magic. a cleric who is a master of divine magic and capable warrior as well. You can also be a druid, one who draws energy from the natural world. You can be a sorcerer, a spellcaster with inborn magical ability. A new class that has been added for NWN2 is warlock, a spellcaster with ties to dark supernatural powers. And then there's the wizard, a spellcaster schooled in the arcane arts.
They've also added some prestige classes, and they cannot be chosen for new characters. They are advanced professions that require substantial training and preparations to master. You'll probably join at least one prestige class later in your career. We'll discuss this in much more detail later on.
Okay, the last thing that we're going to go over tonight is ability scores as far as D&D concepts. The basic physical and mental attributes of your character are divided into 6 ability scores. These affect your aptitude in combat, spellcasting, and other aspects of gameplay. Skills that draw from these traits are modified depending on your score in them. Ability scores typically range from between 8 and 18, with ability scores of 10 or 11 considered average for humans. Each class has different ability scores that are most important to it, so you should consider your class when you're setting your abilities. And we're gonna that'll be something we'll dive deeper into as we get into this. Each character should have a high ability score in at least one of its core class abilities. And I might add here that, this isn't in the manual, I'm adding this. You should read up on your classes before you start playing so you know what abilities you need to go after as you're playing. So I think that's very important. That's what I've learned in playing these games. For example, a paladin should have a charisma of 12 or higher to gain the most benefit from his class powers, and a wizard should have a high intelligence if he wants to cast high-level spells.
If when I start a new character sometimes and I'm wanting to just learn the character, I'll just go ahead and go through and click the recommend, because it usually automatically picks that one that's supposed to be strengthened on it, and I understand that the Never Nice 2 engine is much better at recommending that stuff than what the original one was.
So the 6 ability scores are Strength, Dexterity, Constitution, Intelligence, Wisdom, and Charisma. Strength measures muscle and physical power. This ability is especially important for melee or hand-to-hand warriors because it helps them hit opponents and deal damage. High strength is especially useful when wielding a two-handed weapon.
Dexterity measures agility, reflexes, and balance. This ability is most important for rogues, any character who wants to be a skilled archer, and those who view defense as a priority.
Constitution represents health and stamina. High constitution is important for all classes because it affects how much damage you can endure before dying. Spellcasters especially need a strong constitution because it helps them maintain their concentration when casting spells during combat. And also greater gloves of concentration help, too.
Intelligence determines how well your character learns and reasons. Intelligence is important for wizards because it affects how many spells they can cast, how hard their spells are to resist, and how powerful a spell they can cast. Intelligence also grants additional skill points, making it useful for any character.
And also something to take note of is sorcerers, bards, and warlocks do not use intelligence for casting spells. They use charisma instead. That's a good tip to know. Wisdom describes a character's willpower, common sense, perception, and intuition. An absent-minded professor has low wisdom and high intelligence. A simpleton with low intelligence might nevertheless have great insight, high wisdom. Wisdom is most important for any characters who cast divine spells, including clerics, druids, paladins, and rangers.
Which brings us to charisma. Charisma measures force of personality, persuasiveness, ability to lead, and physical attractiveness. Charisma is most important for warlocks, paladins, sorcerers, and bards. It is also useful for clerics as it affects their ability to turn undead.
Okay, now we're going to end our section with, we're still talking about ability scores, but we need to mention modifiers. Each ability score has a modifier from -5 to +15 and even higher. This modifier is the bonus penalty applied to aspects of the game that depend upon that ability score. For example, you add your strength modifier to the amount of damage you inflict when you hit an opponent with a sword. Most characters have ability modifiers between minus 1 and plus 4. But racial adjustments can provide starting characters with modifiers as high as plus 5 or as low as minus 2. What does racial adjustment mean? So if anybody out there knows what racial adjustment means, please contact us and let us know.
Unless it's talking about race, being human, elf, dwarf.
Ah. That's what it is.
Because some of these are tied directly. Okay. Your class and your race together add some of these ability scores, modifiers.
Ah. Oh, you're so smart. Items and spells are common ways to improve your ability scores and thus your ability score modifiers. If you are a spellcaster, a high ability score in the appropriate ability can also allow you to cast additional spells each day. There is no hard limit to how high your ability scores can become.
If you are a cleric, druid, sorcerer, or wizard, it is highly desirable to have at least 16 in your primary spellcasting ability score. You will eventually need to raise this score to at least 19 to cast your most powerful spells. Bards and warlocks should have high charismas, but this is not as great a necessity for these classes. A paladin or ranger should have a wisdom of at least 12.
One way you can learn about these modifiers is in the manual. There's actually a table that kind of shows you ability score and how it relates to your spell levels. So that's useful information to know if you're going to play one of the characters that cast spells. Okay, so with that, we're going to end our D&D concepts discussion. And next time we'll talk about hit points, armor, and armor classes, and leveling. Now for some listener feedback. We've had several Frapper shoutouts since we started the podcast, and I kind of wanted to mention some of those. Opium in Melbourne, Victoria, Australia. B-Lane in Espoo, Usama, Finland. Kivan in Manila, the National Capital Region, Philippines. Gatecrash in Dell City, Virginia. We also received some feedback from Jason in Illinois. I like the show so far. NWN definitely needs a podcast, and I'm glad you took it upon yourselves to do it. That's how my favorite podcast, Guildcast, for Guild Wars, got started, and they just had episode 55 at their one-year mark. I hope your show will last at least that long. Think we'll last that long, Jay?
Sometimes I wonder. I hope so.
He goes on to give us lots of cool ideas for the show, some of which we were already planning to do. So thanks, Jason. You're actually thinking a little bit like us.
We also received another email from David Crowell on our podcast number 3. Said, hey guys, still doing a great job, but I'm not that crazy about the ambient loop in the background. You guys are fine without it. I do like your music between edits. Hey, I had some people come up to my twos like, well, I don't know if the background loop worked. It kind of sounded like you were in a tavern. And then we explained to them that that's exactly the sound we were going for. So it, maybe it did work. If you did or did not like that either way, shoot us some feedback. We'd love to hear your input on it.
Are we gonna include it in this one, or are we going to nix it?
I was planning on doing it again, but we'll see.
Okay.
Most of the feedback's been mixed, so I think it might work a little bit better if we get it a little bit softer in the background. He goes on to say, notice that episode number 2 was a little tinny, and didn't have any problems with number 1 or 3, so keep it up, we're listening. He said,
I also noticed that he mentioned that he had a mod idea that is out there on the vote on the vault called Bad Moon Horizon, a.k.a. Life's a Beach. So, David, if you want to tell us more about it, go to the website and leave us an audio, and we'll put you in the show. We also got an email from River King. He said, thanks for all the NWN2 info. I can't wait till Christmas when I get the game.
We also got some feedback from River King saying, thanks for all the Neverwinter Nights 2 info. I can't wait till Christmas when I get the game. He also said he'd like to hear more on the new and changed feats in Neverwinter Nights 2, which we will be covering in our new section about the focusing on the game changes.
We also received an email from the Abriel family. They said, "Hi, I've listened to the podcast for the first time today, and it's good, and here are some tips I'd like to share with you guys. First, keep the music volume turned low. When speaking, speak slower. You're talking like a machine, not a person. That was a joke. Most of the time, it's so hard to follow what you're saying, so have the volume up high. When the music started, it blasts out."
And we are working to get our sound levels and music mix with audio much better, so hopefully that won't be an issue in the upcoming episodes.
He also asked about him being a Mac user and non-Intel based. He can't get Neverwinter Nights 2. So he was interested on the information about whether there's going to be a release of NWN2 for the Mac. And I think we talked about that in a previous episode, didn't we?
Well, there's a big petition out there about it and the large thread on the forums in the vault regarding Mac and Linux clients and servers for Neverwinter Nights 2. Obsidian and Atari have not as of yet come out and made any official statement yet. I have sent a couple of emails off to the people we know at Obsidian to try to see if we can get some answers on that, but I wouldn't expect anything right now. And it's sad to say that even Neverwinter Nights 1, from going back and looking at the history of it, it was almost a year before they came out with a Linux or Mac client for Neverwinter Nights 1. So I know there's been a lot of people saying, well, hey, they did it in Neverwinter Nights 1, but yeah, it was also delayed. So if this may be right in step with what they plan on doing. So I hope that they'll come out soon and just say, no, we're not going to do it, or yes, we're going to do it. It's on the drawing board, but it's going to be X number of months out before you see that happen or something, because it's really becoming a huge issue to the community.
He, I assume this is a he that sent this to us, also talks about he has a concern that he's been hearing bad things about NWN2 in terms of the scope for online game playing. I'm not sure what he means by that, but he said the forums tend to be split on the issue. Maybe that could be something we go research.
Well, I think that's some of the... We've touched on it a little bit in this episode, but not really in depth. There is the big push for the game was coming out for Neverwinter Nights 2, was saying, we're going to support Persistent Worlds. We're going to listen to the community. We're going to give Persistent World module teams what they need. And then they don't give us database support, and then they don't give us a Linux server, and then they don't give us a Linux client, and they don't give us a Linux toolset. So they kind of contradict themselves. I'm sure it's not intended, but it's happening.
Well, I think they can't do everything at once. They're going to have to do all.
No, yeah, and I think you're right. Just because if you look at the history of Neverwinter Nights 1, like I mentioned earlier, it wasn't an instantaneous boom. Here's everything. It was a year or more before all that other stuff came along.
We also got another short email from Robert Smith. Thanks for feeding my Neverwinter fix. I love this podcast and will always listen. Thanks, Robert. Appreciate that.
So also got one from Dan. That's all it says here. Is that who? All the thing we got on him was Dan? Dan
yep.
said, I really like the whole idea of a Neverwinter Nights podcast. Thanks for making something so interesting to listen to while at work. I suggest that you discuss character builds, which was one of the new topics we're going to get into. Have each of your hosts describe what race, class, or character is and how that is working out, including their own role play style or strategy. And he goes on to give us some other good ideas that we will be talking about in future episodes. Some of it we have talked about today a little bit to get us primed for that. This is the same guy that said he heard about the best weapons weren't available except through crafting, and he, like myself, wasn't real fond of crafting it. Not that I'm not a fan of crafting, I just think the way it has been done in the past, it just didn't sit well with my style of gameplay.
It was too time-consuming. And it would... What was it? It would... Your crafting would fail more times than it was successful.
Well, it also put you into the realm of, like, wow, where you're going to go do one thing for days so that you can get this item that you want. And to me, that's not, I don't like to play that way. I like to get on and quest or adventure, not go mine some ore so that I can have this elite weapon. Now, some people get into that and want to have those special weapons, and it's there for you. It's just not, it doesn't trip my trigger.
I know there was some of our clan who spent days doing that and became proficient at it.
Yeah, I know Kevin has days waiting on a particular mod to spawn, and just so he could kill him to get the item that he has. So it's just
no. I was talking about that.
I don't
days
like that way.
Crafting stuff.
Oh,
learning craft. I know.
No, Ken spent a lot of time crafting stuff.
Well, he asked about what players that we or what characters that we're using in NWN2, and I'll just add that for NWN2, I chose Warlock.
I branched out. In Neverwinter Nights 2 as well. I usually play a paladin and in Neverwinter Nights 1, and this time I went with a rogue just because he seemed a little more suited for the way I like to play.
Right. And the one thing I've noticed so far is I usually played a sorcerer or a wizard or a fighter. I kind of switched between those three quite a bit. So I chose Warlock, and the one thing I noticed I'm going to have to get used to is I was always doing good when I played the original Neverwinter Nights. As a warlock, you ain't got to be a little bit evil.
I'll be watching your back.
And I haven't got used to that yet. I was actually playing through and I got a warning that said, if you continue on this pace, you will no longer be able to be a warlock.
Yep, I've actually hit that with my paladin when I goofed up something in our module and the whole town hated me, but that was not necessarily what I intended to happen. It was a bug in our modules that we were playing.
Dude, we have arrived. We have arrived. Our interview with Annie Carlson in our first episode, and a link to it is posted on the main U.S. Neverwinter Nights 2 website under the news and community.
All right.
We're not famous yet, but, man, we're getting
yep.
there. Obsidian Entertainment actually has a mention of us in their news archive.
Obsidian. Sweet.
Where they mention the Annie Carlson interview again. And also the MMO Portal posted a link to our episode 1 in their news section.
And you can also find out more about us on Nerd Radio. We were mentioned in their blog at thegamehole.com.
And they said over there, to be honest, I'm not sure how this concept can have any real long-term legs. A podcast based on a single video game seems just a bit too narrow. Even so, check out the first episode, which has an interview with
I would disagree with that. I'm going to put in my 2 cents worth here. I think we're going to see more of podcasts dedicated to a particular game, especially since you're seeing games that have longer lifespans with, what's the word I'm thinking of here? When they have episodic content so that they're constantly being updated and refreshed. World of Warcraft has one. Guild Wars has one. There's no reason that the Neverwinter Nights community, as a long life as it's had already, won't be able to sustain information and need something like this to facilitate discussion and information for a long time. And
also, I don't agree that this is just one game. When you've got thousands of persistent worlds for the original Neverwinter Nights, and you got them coming out every day
agree.
For Neverwinter Nights 2, and in the works. And so I replied back to him and I said, "Hey, thanks for the mention, appreciate it." And also said, "Dude, NWN1 and NWN2 have so many legs you won't believe." It's not just a game, but it's
I agree.
A community.
I'm with you 100% on that one.
So stick that in your game hole.
Yeah. Well, that's it for this week. Thanks for listening. If you have questions, comments, or show ideas, send them to show@neverwinternightspodcast.com or post them to our Neverwinter Nights Podcast forum at the website at www.neverwinternightpodcast.com.
Also, while you're on our site, you can add your shout-out to our Frapper Map. We mentioned some of them early in the show. So get out there and do that. Just click on the Frapper logo. Until next time, get in game
and level up.